thank the Lord this morning.
Amen.
For his blessings to all of us. He's a good God to us. He has really blessed us and helped us through our lives, and we surely, surely need to give him all the praise for it.
Amen.
Our scripture text this morning is 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, and thy profiting may appear to all. Do you believe that if you live the right kind of life, that your profiting will appear to all?
Amen.
We want to talk this morning about being an example of the believers. An example. The Lord said that we were to be ambassadors in this life, and that we were to present our bodies to him, a living sacrifice, so that he could use them as he saw fit, as he willed. And then we were to be an example, ambassador of him. And an ambassador has the one that he is the emissary for. He has all of his interests at heart. He has no independent agenda. He has the agenda of just the one he represents. That's who we are. We're representing the Lord. We're to have his agenda. And we are to be able, people are to be able to look upon us and watch our life and be able to see a real example. A real example. There are many, many people that name the name of Christ, but they're not examples. Because we hear too many times people saying things such as, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want it. So that means that they are not truly representing Christ the right way. That they're doing it in their own way and in their own strength. But the Lord wants us to be godly examples. An example of the believers. What it really meant. There were many apostles in that day, lots of people that followed Christ. But there came a time when he started talking to them about drinking his blood and eating his flesh and all. And they thought it was a very hard saying, and no matter how he explained it to them, some of them decided not to follow him anymore. So they weren't willing to pay the price to be what he needed them to be true examples of what a believer looks like. So in this scripture, it tells us that, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. So we're going to go and pick up a few scriptures on these little words here. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible. I have maybe one or two for each of these. There may be others that come to your mind. And what we want this morning is for the Lord to bless us all, to look at our walk in a different light, that it's not just about us, and it's not just about us making it to heaven. It is about us being example as we go. It is about us being a light unto the world. It is about that we're not hidden under a bushel. It's about us being such a great light because we're such an example that people automatically will say many times, well, I don't know about anything else about him, but I know this, they serve their God. They believe in their God. They live for him. I couldn't do it the way they do it, but I know they do it. That's what we want. Because God can use a life that is an example. He can use it to help others that are around us. You know, whatever kind of example we put out, That's what others think that it can be to reach heaven. So as we're struggling, fighting off our flesh and fighting off the different things that tempt us, people are looking on. If we don't get victories over things, and if we don't come out on top of these things, then over time, people are going to say, well, you don't have to do it quite like that, because so-and-so.
Right.
It's a shame, because they're supposed to look to Christ. He's supposed to be their example. But Paul didn't say this for no reason, for us to be an example. It's because we have a great influence on the people around us. We have a great influence on how they perceive God, how they believe they have to live, how they understand faith, how they understand truth. We have a very big responsibility before God. And we needn't think that we won't be held accountable for our example. Whatever the Lord sees that we are, it says that we'll receive a just reward for who we are, for what we are, for what we claim to be. And there are going to be many that claim to be very high, but their life is very low. They live it very low. And they do not project themselves as a true example. And God will take note of that. And he will give them a just recompense for their lives. So the first one here is be an example of the believers in word. So let's turn to Colossians, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter, Colossians 4 and 6. It says, let your speech. Now we're going to take this word and we're going to use it in this way. This word could be interpreted many different ways. And you may want to take and study it and interpret it other ways, but this is how we're going to interpret it for the message today. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. There are times when we get involved in situations and things that happen, and we should be the voice of reason. We should be the voice of peace. We should be the voice of calmness. We should be the voice that speaks out and begins to cause the situation to change for the better. We should not be the one that escalates. We should not be the one that speaks at the wrong time. Our speech is to be seasoned with grace. It's supposed to be, it's supposed to have salt. We know that salt is the preserver. It is typifying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our preserver in this life. And it's to be seasoned by the Holy Spirit. It is not what we think about the situation. That is not an example of a believer. It is not about what we think. It is about putting the Lord's words forward. There are many times that you can sit in a place where there is a conversation going on and they are expounding on many subjects and many of them worldly topics and many of them debatable topics, and people will debate, do things, different things around you. And we need to be able to interject in those kind of places what the Lord says about these kind of things. We all know what the world says. It's everywhere. It's on Facebook. It's in the news everywhere. You can find all manner of opinions about what is going on. But none of those opinions matter unless it's backed by the scriptures. So we need to be able to, in those kind of situations, to be able to give forth what God thinks about something. And you know what? If we can't find anything, if nothing comes to our mind about what God says about these kinds of things, then maybe it's not our time to speak. But we can be caught up. We can be drawn out. We can be pulled into it. And before we know it, we have said something And then it's not seasoned with salt. It doesn't have any power behind it. And the people just run over what you said, and they don't really care about what you said. The Lord wants to be able to interject into every situation of life some seasoning. He wants to be able to interject what he thinks about things in all these different situations, not just about what we think, or this one thinks, or that one thinks, or this one that's educated, or this one that's lived through it, or all the experiences and all these things. It doesn't matter about that. What matters is, what does the Lord say? What thus saith the Lord? What is he saying about the situation? So if we're going to be a true example, we need to bring people's thoughts back to what God says about these things. Now, will you face ridicule and will you face persecution because you do that? Yes, you will.
Yes.
There will be people that they'll say it before you say it. You'll be in a crowd and they'll be debating back and forth about something and you haven't said anything yet. And they'll say, well, so-and-so, what do you have to say? I know you're going to have something about God. You know, and they'll have this kind of ridicule about it.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is that's being an example.
Yes.
We don't just have to enter into every conversation because we are not wise enough nor in any way educated enough to know the answers to people's problems outside of the Word. Now, in the Word, we can know the answer. We can know the answer because God, in his Word, gives us the answer. So we need to speak words of wisdom. We need to speak words of meekness and calmness. We need to project everywhere we go the idea of what God says about these things, not just what we think. Titus 2. Titus 2 and verse 8. Nope, that's not right. Titus 2 and 8, or 1 and 8. Okay, Titus 2 and 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Do you understand what that's saying? That is saying that it says it is letting us know that we can have such speech that it cannot be condemned. In other words, it can't be come against it. That doesn't mean people won't come against us, but they won't be able to condemn what we said. They will just take it on another level, or they will cast it over here and say this instead, or they will do something with it, but it can't be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Do you know that our lives are supposed to shame people? Our lives are supposed to be a shamefaced influence in this world. It is supposed to bring people to recognize their faults and their failings. It is supposed to bring them to recognize the shameful things that they're mixed up in and doing. It's supposed to do something. Our lives are supposed to do that. An example of the believer can change things around them because it is projected out of us. The Holy Spirit is projected out of us, and it does things to the people around us. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that this sound speech, not saying anything we think, not projecting our thoughts, our ways, or whatever, but sound, to be able to interject into the conversation God's ways, the way God has handled it, the way he's handled you, your testimony, what he's done for you, how he handled a situation similar, and how he helped you in your life. Sound. People can't dispute those things. They may go off in the corner, get together, and they may talk all kinds of things about you. And they may get others to go along with it. And they may have a lot of things to say, but it won't be sound. See, it won't be sound. What it is they're just fighting against the shame. They're fighting against the shame in their own spirit when you put forth what God thinks about it. Because what happens when we do that? God follows it up. You see, when we project God into the conversation, God follows it up. That means he comes right behind it and talks to them about them. See, they may be having this big conversation that they feel like they're having a lot to say and they're winning the argument or whatever. But when God is interjected, then the Holy Spirit goes, taps them on the shoulder and says, you're so and so and so and so. What do you do? This, that, or the other? You know, you're trying to do this, that, and what about this? And he's good at it. The Holy Spirit is good. It's job.
It's true.
But do you know he needs openings? He needs places where we let him come in to handle things instead of us. We're not wise enough to handle it. But we can put the word out. We can put God's name in. And then he can follow it up and talk to people. And that's what he wants us to do. That we will be in our words. In our words, that we will be an example. You know, the tongue is very evil, and the scriptures have much to say about it. And we tend to think that our words are not that. We tend to think that our words are necessary. We tend to think that our words are meaningful. Our words is what should have been said right now. Our thoughts, our ways, our words, they were the right thing. But unless they're seasoned with salt, unless the Holy Spirit is behind what you're saying, unless you are directing the conversation to where God wants it to go and where God is revealed and God is glorified and God's name is thrown out as the supreme being, unless it's that, our speech and our tongue is a worthless instrument. God wants to control it. He wants us to be an example of the believers with our mouths. And that we don't just spew out anything that comes to our head. Because you know the enemy likes to put thoughts through our head. Yes. That he can throw a thought in and you can spew it out faster than you even think about it. And the devil's good at that. And when we were out in sin, he did it to us all the time. And we got used to it. But it doesn't make it right. So the Lord wants us to be an example in word. Then the Lord wants us to be an example in conversation. Philippians 1, 27. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conversation. We know that this word conversation is not about our talking. It is about our life in general. We are to let our life in general be an example. We are to be an example of the believers. As becometh the gospel of Christ, whether the saints are around or not. You know, God is always around. But do you know that sometimes we can get in our heads that there are some things that are all right to do outside of the saints, but I would never do it in front of the saints? What is that? You know what that is? That's saints living right and giving shame on people. That's what that is. Throwing shame on people because they feel like, well, I can't do it in front of them, but I'm okay to do it. But I won't do it in front of them. Now, a lot of people will call it being respectful. And I believe there are cases that are like that, where they're being respectful. But we need to understand, Lord help us, to understand that we need to be an example in our lives. No matter where people see us, no matter where they might run into us, no matter what might be happening or whatever, we need to be examples. We need our conversation, you know, whether it's in our homes, outside of our homes, no matter where it is, we need to be examples. We need to show forth that a Christ led and sanctified life, a life that is full of what God wants, a life that is projected out that can bring shamefacedness to those around. The Lord wants us to have that. James 3 and 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, there are things that come out of us. There are people that have bitterness and things from the past. Unforgiveness. There are things. And they, I'm not talking about somebody that is striving to conquer these things and live right. I want you to understand that we all have had touches of these things, and we have all had to strive to get them out of our lives. And the message today is saying, be an example. In other words, strive to get these weak places out of our lives. This little bitterness and this little maybe self-pity and different things that can come upon us. We need to be an example of the believers. Our conversation, our whole life, and what comes out of our mouth and how we live and how we react and how careful we are. How careful we are before those around us, whether they're of our own household or whether they're out in, we're out in public. The carefulness of our life needs to show through. It needs to, you know how it is, our conversation, in other words, our life, it can condemn people around us. It condemns people all the time. There are those that'll stand and there'll be off-color things said in a room or something, and they'll say, oh, forgive me. Or they'll say a curse word or something, and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry. Yes. What is that? That's your example.
Yes.
Of the believers showing through, and it condemns them and brings shamefacedness on them to where they feel like they have to correct it.
Yes.
They will go right around the corner and talk to somebody else and tell the same thing and feel nothing.
Right.
Our lives are to do that. But we have to be careful with our lives. We have to be the same everywhere. We have to be a true example in everything. The thoughts of our mind have to be brought under control so that we can be what the Lord wants us to be at any given time. No envying, no strife, nothing that would cause us to have any interactions of words and things with people. No. We have to be an example in everything that we do, our whole life. There are many people that feel like that they can, cheat a little bit on the taxes or cheat a little bit on this or just not put everything on the piece of paper. Or, you know what I'm talking about? We've all been faced with times when they tried to make us do things a certain way. We've all been there. We just heard a story of someone, one of the young ministers down there in Pacoima. He was talking about how he had gone to the bank for a loan. And so they worked it all out and everything. And then when he went in to sign papers, they said, we want you to predate this. And he said, why is that? He says, well, we only have so long to get it out. And so if we don't predate this, then we're going to have to go back and do it all over. And so he says, I'll think about it. And he called him back and he says, we'll start all over. In other words, see, it's just a date. It's just a date. But an example of the believers, they said that it couldn't be done on a timely manner, and this is why they always had to do it. But guess what? The second time they got it done in a timely manner. They got it done. You know, the Lord wants us to be careful about what we put our signature to, about things that we write down, to be careful of the truth, to make sure it's always honest and above board, to make sure of all these things. How many times have you found money or something dropped or this or that happened, or you got home and something was there that in your thing you didn't pay for? And you, what have we done? Most people would just use it. But no, we'll go back. And some of the children can say, oh, you know, just do it next time. Or the next time you go in, do it. Or they'll say, it really doesn't matter. You know, just call them up and tell them it happened or whatever. And, you know, they'll probably tell you it doesn't really matter. Don't worry about it or whatever. But no, you'll make the trip. You'll get back in the car and you'll go and you'll make the trip. Why? Because I have to be an example. Have to be an example to let them know that you can't just slide by with things. You have to keep things above board and honest in the sight of all men. All right? It says, be an example of charity. We know that charity is love. 1 Corinthians 16, 14. It says, let all things be done with charity, with love. Let all things be done with love. Now that surely tells us that there's some things that we can't do. There's some things we can't say. Because it has to be said with love. The things that we react to. You know what I'm talking about. But how about just rolling your eyes? You know, what about just turning your back and walking away and you're saying a few little words under your breath? No, it says all with love. If it can't be said with love, if it can't be thought about with love, then we can't think about it. Do you know that we set ourselves up for things to come in and disturb us because we let thoughts run through our minds that we don't say? But they're not full of love. They're not loving thoughts. And so we set ourselves up for the enemy to be able to come in and torment us about something.
Yeah.
We need the Lord to help us to be an example of love. That our whole, everything we do will be motivated out of love. Now, when we were in the world, we were not motivated by love. We were motivated by a lust to have.
Yeah.
A lust to have. I want this, so I have to do that. I want a better job, so I have to whatever, go behind somebody's back. You know, all kinds of things we did out there. We were examples of the world. We showed them how to do it and how to go about it. Well, we're supposed to be the opposite of that now. And we are supposed to do all things with love. All things with love coming out of our hearts towards souls. That means when we pray for them, when they're doing us wrong and it says, love your enemies. And you think, how can we do that? Because it's not done through our own strength, dear ones. It's done through the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. It's done through His power. All of us have to pray from time to time and say, Lord, I need more love. I need more. Because why? Because something happens and we fall a little short. We go, oh, even if it was only just a thought, you realize, I should not have been thinking that. I should not have been doing that. Lord, help us. Help us to be what we need to be so that this love flows out of everything in our life, from the way we treat people to the way we interact with people to the way that we think about our bosses and the people that make difficulties in our life. We need to do it with love. We need to have concern for them. We need to have a place where we can get down deep enough in the Lord and in His love that's what is portrayed instead of our tiny little grasp of what we think love is. Because our little grasp is not what God grasps. And He wants to fill us with His love, the love that passes all understanding.
Amen.
He wants us to have that love, to where we project that out in every way. We need the Lord to help us. All right? Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 14, 15. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We're going to have a lot of love in our heart to be thankful. Thankfulness does not come from us having our own way. It doesn't come from us spewing out our own thoughts. It comes from submitting yourselves to God, yes, allowing Him to fill your mouth, allowing Him to rule your life, and then you learn thankfulness. It is not about me getting my way so that I can be thankful that I got something. No, it's about submitting yourself.
Amen.
That you get something in return. And as you submit yourself and you get something in return, there is true thankfulness, to where it runs deep in your soul. And it's not so easy for you to back up on the Lord when you have that thankfulness. But as long as there are things in your life that keep you from having the love that you need to have, that little bit of bitter and envy and strife and little things like that keep you from having the kind of love that you need to display,
yeah,
to everyone in your life, even those that are a burden, even,
yeah,
those that are hard to get along with.
Yeah.
Love, you have to be an example of the believers in love. You know, Jesus, no matter who came to him, like Nicodemus, he came to him in the night. He didn't tell him, well, you know, you're associated with all those other people, and you've had this happen or that happen, or he knew everything about him and about his life. And so, I don't know why you're sneaking around here at night. No, he had love and compassion, because he knew that if he came to him during the day, the kind of suffering and persecution he would have to go through.
Yeah.
So he just loved him. Even though he came in the night, and he was maybe a little bit of afraid to show his concerns, a little bit afraid to let out the fact that nobody can do what you're doing. So what's going on? What happens? What I need more? What do I need? And then he revealed to him, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. Do you know that we can live such lives that people can come to us and they say, I want what you have.
Yeah.
I want what you have. I've been watching you.
Yeah.
I've watched you go through hardships. I've watched you go through all kinds of things being said about you. I've watched you go through hurts. And I've watched you go through all these things. Hardships financially, spiritually, afflictions on our bodies. And they watch us and all. And what do they say in the end? Do they say, ooh, I don't want a God that lets you have to go through all that? No, they say, I want what you have. Do you see? It's the opposite of what the world would say. The world would say, oh, you know, it has to be, we have to be on cloud nine, and we have to have all these things all the time in order for people to want the Lord. I mean, you have to show joyfulness every day and smile and everything, and you do. But there are going to be some sad times. And there are going to be times that people see you in your sadness. There are going to be those times.
Amen.
But do you know that it leads them to God? Because as they see you go through your sad times, and they see you go through with victory, and there's not bitterness, and your words are right, and your example is right, your whole conversation, your whole everything about you is striving to do the right thing in the middle of it, and they're going to look at you and say, I want what you have. Why? Because the Holy Spirit backs up a life that is an example. The Holy Spirit is doing it. It's not that you're so good.
Right.
It's not that you're so perfect, because none of us are.
Amen.
We have times where each of us have things that we're working on.
Uh-huh.
It's not about that. What it is, it's projecting what God wants us to project, a total dependence upon Him, a total dependence upon everything He has for us, and a striving to always get more. We don't settle, do we?
No.
We don't settle for a little bit. We go on and on and grasp more and more of the Lord, more the deeper riches in the Word, the deeper riches in this salvation life. All of us that have lived any time at all with the Lord, in the beginning, we may not have seen the depth of the riches of that what He was going to give us here on this earth, but we see it now. We're seeing it now. And do you know what we see now isn't even a part, hardly a part of what He has for us. There are so many deeper depths that all of us can go if we will just submit ourselves, if we will just open up and allow God to have complete control. That's what He wants from us. But we've got to be an example of charity. And it says here in the... which is the bond of perfectness. Charity, love, it's the bond. You know how they say that in a family, there's somebody, well, you're the glue in our family. Yeah, well, love is our glue. See, it's our glue. It keeps us connected to each other. It keeps us connected to God. It keeps us connected to the world in the right way.
That's true.
In the right way.
Yeah.
Not the lustful way where we tried to stay connected before and be a part of the group and have my way and I find other people like-minded like me so we all talk alike and all these things. No, it is a bond of perfectness.
Yeah.
It brings us close together, and even with those in the world, when they will feel our love. How many times have you been approached out in the world, in the market, in a parking lot? How many times have you been approached? Do you think they approach everybody? No, they do not, because they are not projecting anything but hatred and lustfulness and all kinds of deviant and different things. And they're projecting how angry they are and how upset they are about everything, so that you're not approached. They're not approached. But you'll be approached. People will ask you to help them do this or ask you for that or whatever. There's been many times in the store where I needed something down off of a high shelf or something. You know, I just don't ask anybody because some of them look like they're not very friendly, you know? And so, but then all of a sudden somebody will come around the corner and you know you can approach them. How do you know that? Because see, those kind of things are projected out of people's hearts and out of their lives. And even we can recognize somebody in the world that has empathy and compassion for people. We can even recognize it. God recognizes it. The Holy Spirit recognizes it. And so we need to be approachable. And the only way that can happen is through love. It's the bond. It's the thing that holds us all together. It's the thing that holds the church together. It's the bond of perfectness. It's God in us, and us in God, and God in His love. All right? Let's talk about the Spirit. Be an example in spirit. Matthew 26, 41. Matthew 26, 41. See. Matthew 26:41. Yes. All right. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have a spirit. A spirit, you can call it your inner workings, your soul, your spirit, what responds to God. We have one. It's only complete when it is connected to the Lord. It's only complete when it's connected back to God. Then it becomes a spirit that you can rely on. But you know, there are a lot of people out there in the world that say, I have a feeling. See, I feel this, or I think that, or I, you know, and so they'll work on that. But we have to be an example of the believers. we don't let our spirit just feel any old way. We bring our spirit into subjection. How do we do it? By denying our flesh. When we deny our flesh, our spirit becomes more powerful. Our spirit connected with God, the whole, all of it working together, blesses. And it blesses those around us. The whole idea is to be an example. You want flowing out of you a meek, a humble, a quiet spirit. You want flowing out of you a loving, a kind, gracious spirit. You know how people talk. Ooh, they seem so mean. They're talking about their spirit. Or they seem so this, or they're so that. They're talking about their spirit. Their spirit is projecting. Our spirit needs to project, and it needs to project the example of a believer. So our spirit shouldn't be easily affected. It shouldn't be easily cast down. It shouldn't be easily manipulated. Help us to be what the Lord wants us to be in these things. Amen. And it says here, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptations. Watch and pray. Oh, dear ones, watch and pray.
Amen.
We need to watch and pray. We need to do more watching and praying. Do you know that a watchman on the wall, when he's up on a wall and he's supposed to be watching out for the city, do you know that while he's up there that his mind can wander and he can miss something? When you're a watchman, they don't put sleepy watchmen up there. They don't put undiligent watchmen up there. They put the ones up that they know they're going to be diligently watching all the time. Watching, watching, watching. They're not going to... Sometimes we can get in our minds so encumbered with something that's going on that all we can see is that right there.
Yeah.
And the devil's sneaking in on both sides, and we can't see him because we're encumbered with this one thing. To be watchful means that I'm looking over my whole life. I'm looking on both sides. I'm looking over here, and then I'm spanning, and I'm going over here. I don't let my mind get so encumbered with this particular thing that I'm not watching for all the other areas that the enemy can creep in. Because that's what you will find. You will find when your mind gets encumbered in a certain place, and your spirit is encumbered and all involved in whatever the problem that is happening and all, what you will find is that something will come on this side and, so to speak, blindside you. And before you think, you say something or you do something or you react or something happens and you say, oh, Lord, why did I do that? Because you weren't being watchful.
Yeah.
You let one thing occupy you. We can't ever do that. Let one thing occupy us. We have to ever be watchful. We have to know that if our attention is all being drawn over here, we need to be wise. There are many times that a watchman on the wall, what do they want to do? If they want to get in and they want a surprise, they cause a distraction over here.
Yeah.
So the watchman is all looking over there so they can sneak in over here. And that's what the enemy does to us. We need to be watchful. Constantly scanning back and forth in our life from morning till night. What am I doing? What am I thinking about? What's occupying my mind? You know, what am I? In other words, keep drawing our mind back. Keep getting out of the place where we're thinking only of one thing. And I know how hard that is. We can go through some terrible places that want to completely take over our mind. But we can't let that happen. We have to be watchful. We have to do that.
Amen.
All right. 2 Corinthians 7, 1.
Mm-hmm.
7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, there's some cleansing has to be done in our spirit. We let our spirit, so to speak, our spirit and our flesh, we let it kind of rule us out there. When we were out there in the world, whatever we felt like doing, we did. Whatever we felt like saying, we said. We just let it rule. But it says here that we're going to have to cleanse ourselves in our spirits. Our spirits, our inner being, the spirit by which people know us by, the spirit where they have decided already, you know, okay, that person is doesn't care about people, and that person is mad all the time, and that person is violent, and that's our spirit showing up, dear ones. That's our spirit. That has to be cleansed. We have to go to the Lord and ask Him to cleanse our spirit. What we allowed our spirit to participate in and be a part of, it has to be cleansed. And we're going to find places in our spirit through our walk with the Lord that have to be cleansed. That has something else has to be put aside. As we get closer to the Lord, there's not the big things anymore, but there's a lot of little things that are still a hindrance to being the kind of example that God wants us to be. So we need to work on cleansing our spirit. Our spirit is what other people think about us.
Yeah, that's right.
When they call us this, that's our spirit. That's who we are. That's what they've seen. That's what we've been the example of. We want to be an example of the believers. All right, it says faith. Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, Peter was a disciple, following the Lord, doing maybe the best that he could at that point in time in his life. But he says, but the Lord said, I've prayed for you. Do you believe that the Lord prays for us too?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says, that he's on the right hand of the Father interceding? Isn't that prayer for us?
Yeah.
Doesn't he see all the little intricacies of our life and who we are and how we react? And doesn't he want to change all those? So it says, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Dear ones, there are a lot of damage. There's a lot of damage we can do ourselves to our faith.
Yes.
That we can do. Things that we can do that goes against our own faith. To the point to where we begin to say, Lord, not just that I need more faith, but Lord, do I have any faith? When you start asking questions like that, there's some things that have happened that you need to take note of, and you need to go to the Lord with, and you need to ask, get humble before Him and say, Lord, help me. I want to be an example of the believers in faith. I want my faith to stand out. I want my faith to be strong. I want my faith in the Lord and all that He can do. I want it to be where it should be. I don't want my faith to fail, because when our faith fails, others are looking on, dear ones. Others are looking on. And that's the example that we put forth. We want our faith to be strong. If it's not strong, then we need to pray until it is. We need to pray till we get enlightenment and a revelation from God so that we can have strong faith. Faith for everything. I'm not just talking about faith for our bodies. Faith to know that you can triumph over things. Faith to know that there can be changes wrought in people's lives through your prayers. Faith to believe that God is with you every moment of the day. Faith to believe that you can make the devil flee.
Amen.
See, there are many people that say, I've prayed, and the devil's still here. You have to have faith to believe that he has to flee. You have to exercise your faith. And if you don't have enough, you have to pray and let the Lord give you more and send whatever He needs to send to help you to have more and more and more faith. So towards faith unto faith. It just exceeds. It grows stronger every day, not weaker. The Lord wants us to be an example in faith. In Colossians, go back to Colossians, it says, I like this scripture, Colossians 1 and verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. See, faith grounds and settles us. See, it comes from faith. Faith in our Lord. Faith that no matter what we see, we're still settled. We still got it settled. We're still grounded in it. No matter what we experience, it's still settled. That's what faith does. It settles you and grounds you. Faith in believing that God has everything in control. You know, in this day and age, with all the things that are going on in the world and all the threats of wars and this, that, and the other, and you know, you listen to the news and you hear things, and I don't know about you, but I start feeling it fill me up, you know, and I get about here and I go, Lord, I have to just turn it off. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it anymore. Why? Because it's attacking my faith. It's attacking my faith. Despair is coming up. You know, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, you know, you see what I'm saying? And so it's attacking my faith. So when I snap it off and I say, Lord, you have it all in control. It's all in your hands. You are working out your purpose. I'm just going to pray that you have your will and your way in all of it. See, that's faith. That's active faith working. And what does it bring? It settles. It settles you right down. Just settles you down. It grounds you. And you can go about your day and not have all that thing running through your head about all the things that are going on. Faith does that. All right, then it says purity. 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Purifier. We need to have a pure life. There can't be spots and wrinkles all up in our life. We have to have a pure life. There are many out there that are saying many things. You know, there are many out there that say they're living for God and they want to talk about God and everything, but their lives are very impure. They're living in sin. They're doing all manner of lustful things, and they're involved in so many things, but yet they're calling on the name of God. But it says, but if you're going to really have God in your life, you have to be pure like he is.
Amen.
That's what you have to do. You have to strive for purity, honesty and purity and virtue and all those things that we as humans are not without God. With God, we can be pure. Without him, we can never be pure. So, but we have to purify ourselves. What does that mean? Does that mean I just talk myself into it? No. It means we seek God.
Yes.
And we say, Lord, I have a problem.
Yes.
This is something that is I can see is leading me and not in the right direction.
Yes.
And I need your help. And then you pray about it. And you don't just pray about it once. You pray about it every day until you see a difference. Until you see that the Lord is conquering it and he's blessing you and helping you. You don't let up. You keep praying. It says you have to purify yourself. That means you have to be aware you need it and you have to seek the Lord to help you with it. That's purifying yourself. That's how you do it. Everything we get to be an example for the Lord, we get from him. We have to seek him with our whole hearts. We have to be an example of the believers. We need to, because people around us are looking on. And people that are loved ones and different ones that are very close to us, they're looking on. They see every little thing we do. And trust me, if they don't see it, the devil's going to make sure it gets pointed out. He's going to make sure they know of every little thing in your life. Dear ones, we're going to have to live an example. We're going to have to deal with those little things. We're going to have to deal with those little places that people see. We can't just say, well, it's not very big, and so I don't have to worry. No, we have to be an example of the believers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.